Welcome to Inspiration and Transformation from the Banks of the Ganga with Sadhvi Bhagwati Saraswati, an American sannyasi living at the Parmarth Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India. Sadhvi is president of the Divine Shakti Foundation, a charitable organization bringing education, vocational training, upliftment, and empowerment programs to women and children. Sadhvi is also Secretary General of the Global Interfaith WASH Alliance and Director of the world-famous International Yoga Festival. Join the musings of an American sannyasi as Sadhvi shares the wisdom and teachings of her guru, His Holiness Pujya Swami Chidanand Saraswatiji.
Welcome, everyone, to Inspiration and Transformation from the Holy Banks of the sacred Ganga River in the land of Rishikesh, India. Dearest Sadhviji, could you please share how we can tell the difference between our ego and our inner knowing? With much love and thanks. Our ego and our inner knowing. So it's more subtle than it may seem. On the surface, it may seem obvious. Well, the ego is the ego, and the inner voice is the inner voice. But it only seems simple if you've never actually tried to tease them apart. The minute that you've actually ever really tried to go in with the power of discrimination, you realize how subtle it is. And it's subtle because the ego is a chameleon. The ego is like one of those character actors who, whatever the role is, can do it. Villain today, hero tomorrow, damsel in distress the next day, king the next day, minister the day after, beggar at the door next week. And all of the roles brilliantly. And so the ego, if it knows that you are looking for the voice of your inner knowing, well, the ego says, I can do that. I've got an inner knowing hat. I've got an inner knowing mask, an inner knowing script, no problem. Inner knowing, I got that down. And so then the ego, under the guise of inner knowing, starts filling you with pretty much all kinds of nonsense. But because it came from inside, it's an inner voice. So there isn't, unfortunately, an equation that I can say, if there's two A's and no B, then it's your ego. And if there's one A and one B, it's inner knowing. There isn't an equation like that. But we have cues. For example, the ego tends to be very focused on what I'm going to get out of something. So the ego tends to be very focused on where I am supposed to be in a particular situation, what my role is supposed to be, what my piece there is. And the inner voice, inner knowing, isn't nearly as focused on that, because the inner self is so connected with the divine self that it doesn't need to artificially create its own role. The inner self is very happy to sit quietly. The inner self is very happy to be the one behind the scenes. This is why when we do this beautiful yajna ceremony that we perform, the fire ceremony, we place these offerings into the fire And it's this beautiful reminder that our roles in life, when we are really connected and attuned, are not about, oh God, put me in the center. Then you just get burned, literally, in the fire. But rather, oh God, let me be on the outside, offering in, offering in, offering in. So if you find yourself thinking about, this is going to be my role, this is going to be my thing, this is going to be my name, chances are it's ego. That's one way to know. If you find yourself doubting your own worthiness, it's ego. Because the ego, of course, works not only in the, you should be the highest, the best role, but the ego also works the other way. The ego is also the one who says, you're nothing, you're stupid, you can't do it, you're not worthy. Who the hell do you think you are? How dare you for having these thoughts? You're arrogant. That's ego. So if you find yourself saying, no, I'm not good enough, no, I'm not worthy, no, I'm too old or young, stupid, poor, uneducated, injured, tainted, that's your ego. The inner knowing knows you're divine. Knows that you've been created by perfection out of perfection. Knows that whatever you are supposed to do in life, you've been given the tools. Another way. The ego tends to usually be that makes us contract. So the ego tends to focus us and contract us around a very particular idea, issue, hurt, thing. So the ego is the one that's all about, I don't like this, I don't like this, this is wrong, that's wrong, this is a problem, that's ego. Because the ego just makes us contract. We get smaller and smaller and smaller. Everything else is other. Everything else is them. And that which is self, that which is us, gets smaller and smaller. But the inner knowing expands and expands and expands and starts including more and more in us. So the ego's the one who says, that's not my concern. That's not my job. The inner knowing is the one who knows I'm one with everything. Doesn't necessarily mean I'm meant to solve every particular problem or get involved in every particular situation. But it means that I'm not separate. It means that there is nothing that is not me. It's expansive. Lastly, I mean, there's a lot of ways, but I'll leave you with another one. The ego tends to be very frenetic. So the ego tends to be all about gotta make it happen now. This is right now. Has to happen. I've got to do it. So the ego gets wrapped up with passion, with impulse, with lust, with delusion, with manicness, with all of that energy that's sort of all about right now, got to do it right now, it has to be now. It's another form of contraction. The inner knowing knows we've been doing this a long time. Long time. We've been coming back life after life after life for a long time. The inner self is very patient. Not complacent, not lazy, not apathetic or indifferent by any means, but patient. With an awareness that if it's really true, it's going to still be true tomorrow. It's going to still be true next week. And so there tends to be a frenetic energy where the ego is concerned, and a peace and a stillness and an expansion where the inner voice is concerned. And as you meditate more and more, and you connect more and more in your meditation with the inner knowing, it'll become a voice that's very familiar to you. And so then even when you hear it from a distance, you'll know, oh yeah, that's so-and-so. Like when you hear a loved one or a good friend from meters away, you know, oh, that so-and-so must be coming up the driveway. Because you know them. They're close to you. But when you hear someone's voice for the first time, it doesn't quite sink in. So make that inner knowing your close friend. Spend a lot of time with it in meditation so that you recognize the voice more and more.
You're listening to OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single...
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Alaya, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me.
Are there any genuine self-realized souls or avatars on Earth now who could guide us like Jesus or Krishna?
Absolutely there are. There are so many of them. The problem is that very few of us really want the truth. What most people want is a leader, a guru, a guide who will say just what you're doing, exactly as you're doing, it's perfect. And these days there's a plethora to choose from. Whatever way you live, you will find someone who will tell you that that's absolutely perfect. Very few people really want to hear, that's your ego, that's your fear, that's your ignorance. And so what we do is we sort of guru shop until we find one who basically pats us and says, oh yeah, all the, what you're doing, no problem, it's okay. Anyway, it's all perfect. Oh, you're beating your kids, you're cheating on your wife. No, but it's okay. It's okay, you're perfect. No problem. Just have a bath in Ganga and you'll be fine. Get out, keep doing the same thing over and over again. No problem. And I'm sure you can find someone like that. And tragically, very few people really want to do the work to go within. That work of being quiet, of really looking within at who am I and what am I here for? What's the love in my heart? What's my anchoring, my grounding? And so we're so easily pulled in this direction, pulled in that direction, pulled by our senses, pulled by our ego, pulled by the thing of the moment, pulled by this desire, by that desire. And because the media these days has really brought the world to our fingertips, whatever you envision, someone is out there ready to give it to you. Some for money, some for free. You just have to follow them and, you know, like them and watch them and listen to them, whatever. And so the dilemma these days is, in order to really listen to what the realized beings are saying, it requires a level of surrender and a level of humility. And a level of preparedness to really do sadhana that very few people have. We're living in a world today where everything's immediate. There's almost nothing you've got to wait for. You want money? Walk up to a wall, stick a card in, push some buttons, and money comes out. You want food? Drive your car up to a window, shout into it. 5 feet later, drive up to another window and your food comes out. Want to own something? Punch a few buttons on your computer. Within 24 hours, it arrives at your doorstep. Faster in some places. And so we've created a world where everything is immediate. Instant enlightenment. I'm sure if you Google it, there'll be dozens of people promising it. No meditation required, no sadhana required, instant awakening. And so with a culture that has been primed for everything immediate, the minute we are bored, we just change the channel. We go through our social media feeds like this, the news, whatever it is. Nobody even looks at things anymore. I remember when we first started making videos. They were, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour, 40 minutes. And then suddenly people started saying, you know, the videos shouldn't be longer than 10 minutes. Nobody watches more than 10 minutes. And then a few years later, people said, you know, they really shouldn't be more than 3 or 4 minutes. Nobody watches more than 3 or 4 minutes. Now they say, if you can't give it within less than 60 seconds, nobody's going to keep watching. So we've created a world where we want what we want immediately. And if we don't like it, there's a million other options to choose from, whether it's channels on a TV, posts on a social media feed, stations on a radio, or our iPod, or what, you know, what we listen to with music. Billions of options. They now count things in like 3 second views, like how many people actually watched it for 3 seconds. Basically what that means is how many people watched it at least till they blinked. We've lost our ability to stay focused. We've lost our ability to stay put, to stay still, to stay with anything. Married, great, love it, wonderful. No longer love it, no problem, get a new one. Job, love it, great, don't love it anymore, no problem, get a new one. whatever it is. We're in this constant now lifestyle of immediacy, an absolutely no requirement whatsoever to stick with anything that doesn't float our boat for more than 3 seconds. So how in the world are we gonna commit ourselves to a path that requires surrendering our ego? You know, the stories from the scriptures of gurus who sent their disciples with 4 cows up to the mountains and said, come back when these 4 become 400. Can you even imagine today what the disciple would say? They'd laugh. Forget it, I'll find another guru down the block. Instant enlightenment. So if you really want to find the masters, make yourself a disciple with surrender, with patience, with openness. Sit still. Be open. It will come to you. It is our highest purpose on earth in life is to wake up. The universe is batting for us. The universe wants it to happen for us. This is why we've taken birth. So it isn't rocket science. It doesn't require a lot. That guru will come. But you just have to stop changing the channels every 3 seconds. You have to stop switching every moment. The second we get bored, the second something sounds like, oh, it might be a little too much work, the second someone doesn't say exactly how you are in every moment is exactly perfect, the second something is not as fast as a drive-through or an ATM or Amazon, develop that patience. Develop that surrender. Call out to the universe what you really want. And the universe will bring it to you. But you've got to be clear. Is what I'm looking for someone who will pat me on the head and say, go forth, you are perfect? Or am I looking for someone who will say, the core of who you are is perfect, divine? But unfortunately, you don't know that yet. So I am going to remove all of the parts of you that are blocking you from being able to see the divine within yourself. It's like the artist who sculpts. Some people would just look at a lump of clay and say, perfect, great. But an artist looks at a lump of clay and says, ah, that is a dancer, or that is a bird, or that is the thinker, or that is any one of an innumerable number of possibilities, an infinite number of possibilities in the lump of clay. But in order to bring forth the sculpture from the clay, that which isn't the bird or the thinker or the beautiful animal head or the beautiful whatever the sculpture may be, that which isn't the art gets removed. That's why if you look on the ground of any ceramic studio, you see lots of clay. That which isn't the sculpture has been removed. If the piece of clay says, no, 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 don't cut me, don't touch me, don't remove anything, what are you left with? A lump of clay. Fine. The universe loves you anyway, no problem. But if your goal is to really unfold that divine masterpiece within you, then you have to let the guru cut away that which isn't the masterpiece that needs to emerge. And that's the surrender, that's the courage. So that's up to you. If that's your call to the universe, that divine artist, the divine guru, will arrive. Maybe already has arrived for you. Maybe you just need to think about those you've met, those in whose presence you've been. Or maybe you haven't met them yet. But either way, definitely they exist. 200%. But we have to have the eyes to see them. We have to have eyes to see that light. And then, through them, we will see the light within our own selves.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Mike Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip or the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation. How do we keep the heart open without feeling the pain that arises when we witness suffering? How do we keep the heart open without feeling pain that arises when we witness suffering? So first of all, the highest goal in life, the highest, deepest spiritual marker experience is not about how pain-free can I live when people around me are suffering. It's how pain-free am I on the inside? The pain that spirituality frees us of is that internal ego, grudges, anger, unfulfilled expectations, jealousies, all of that nonsense that causes suffering. Our attachment to our histories, things that happened that we wish hadn't happened, things that didn't happen that we wish did happen, things in our current life that we wish were happening differently. That's the pain that spirituality frees us from. But it doesn't disconnect us from the world around us. And actually, one of the beautiful marks of deep spirituality is that experience of the pain of others as your own. And so whether it's experiencing the pain of those who are hungry and homeless, experiencing the pain of children who are orphans or women dying in childbirth, trees being cut down, rivers being polluted, our sisters and daughters and mothers being raped, the air being polluted, children dying of that air pollution. Spirituality is not that which cuts us off from experiencing the suffering that that causes. Spirituality actually opens us to that because it makes us know that's not separate from me. When I don't live a spiritual life, I feel like, well, that is someone else's problem, not my problem. Starving kids in Africa, not my problem. Rainforest being cut down, not my problem. 1 billion people sleeping hungry, not my problem. Billions of people without access to clean water, not my problem. As long as I can turn on my tap and something flows, not my problem. That's not the spiritual response to life. That's not the way to tell a spiritual being. The spiritual being is the one who understands every tree that is being cut down is me. The waters that are being polluted are me. Those who are drinking the polluted water and suffering are me. We're all one. So experiencing that suffering of others in the world is actually a very, very beautiful experience because it makes us know we are connected to the world. We are one. However, that suffering is not just about my life now should be only rooted in the suffering that others are experiencing. Because in our oneness, what we realize is I'm one with those who are suffering, but I'm also one with those who are celebrating. And just as the hungry child is me, just as that woman who has been assaulted is me, just as the tree that is being cut down is me, so is the newborn, beautiful, healthy, giggling baby, me. So is the family looking into that baby's eyes, me. So is the river that is flowing clean and clear and healthily, also me. So when we open our hearts to the world, we don't open only to the suffering, because that's not a full opening. When we really open our hearts, yes, there is death and there is pain and there is destruction and there is greed, and there is beauty and there is birth. And there is love, and there is compassion, and there is care. And even more than the people who are harming others are those who are helping and serving others. And even more than those who are being raped and killed and harmed by others are those who are being cuddled and loved and held and cared for and served by others. And so, yeah, the tree being cut down is me. But the flower opening its petals so lovingly to the morning sunshine is also me. So keep your heart open, not expecting that you're going to somehow be disconnected from the reality of the world. But realize that that reality is not only suffering, that reality is great joy, great love, great connection and oneness. Feel that. Feel not just the pain of others, but feel the joy of others. Not just their loss, but their celebration. Feel it all. And lastly, what we realize is, on one level, there is suffering, there is pain, there is joy, there is celebration. That's on one level. And a whole other level, there just is awareness. And so as you open your heart to that suffering, as you realize on one level, that is me, realize that on a whole other level, on the deepest level, you are consciousness. So you're neither the sufferer nor the celebrator. You're neither the one who is being born nor the one who is dying, nor the one who is being harmed or the one who is being helped, neither the one who has everything or the one who has nothing. You are the field. The field of consciousness in which that all exists. You are the awareness. You are the witness. You are the consciousness, and you are the one who is conscious. You are the awareness and the one who is aware. The one who is awake. So anchor yourself in that as well. When we really open our hearts, we don't open it just to one level of existence, not just to the level of suffering and pain, or even joy and pleasure, but we open it to the deepest level of pure consciousness. Pure experience, awareness, spirit, soul, divinity, whatever word we use, that's also you. And when the suffering that you open to feels so much, re-anchor yourself. Anchor yourself in that place of consciousness. But don't forget the level of the suffering, because that's the work we have to do, and that level is also real. It's why we've been given a human incarnation. It's not just to pretend that it doesn't exist, but to be able to live in that state of awareness in which we are consciousness, we are awareness. And we are open and connected to the suffering in the world, which is also real. And therefore we serve and we act for it. And we do whatever we can to help heal it. And we are aware that all is perfect and all is God. And we use every minute and every moment to work, to end hunger, to end pain, to end deforestation, to end crimes against women, crimes against humanity, crimes against nature. And we anchor ourselves in the perfection of the divine universe. and we get up and serve. And that place where we're not bouncing from one to the other, we're not a pendulum swinging, but we are expansiveness. That's the place of a fully open heart.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM radio network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Like Baldwin, with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation. The number one solution for healing the world. Courage and connection. Connection and courage. The problems faced by the world, in the world, stem from really one cause. And that cause is what we call the myth of separation. So I feel separate. Separate from God, separate from people around me, separate from myself. Therefore, causes depression, causes anxiety. One of the ways of dealing with that depression, dealing with that separateness, dealing with that misery, alcoholism, drug abuse. Another way, violence, crime. Because separation then, of course, makes me feel like I don't have enough. So it leads to greed, it leads to anger, it leads to lust. It leads to conflict in our families. It leads to the problems that we face in our communities, whether small communities or large communities. I feel separate from people of different races, different religions, different colors. Different sexual orientations, different socioeconomic statuses. There's always an us and a them, an other. And in that separateness, we wreak havoc and harm on the other. Whether just through discrimination and discriminatory practices or through absolute vicious violence and everything in between. Because they are other. We have wars between nations. Again, they are other. What do we fight over? We fight over land. We fight over religion. We fight over power. We fight over money. But I'm only fighting the other. I'm only fighting them because in my mind they are separate from me, they are different, they are other. That land should be mine, ours, that power, that resource should be mine, should be ours. We are right, you are wrong. Us, them. Causes what's happening to our environment. We feel separate from the trees, from the air, from the soil, from the water. So they become commodities for us to use and abuse and discard. We feel separate from future generations. The unborn children, which enables us to squander and defile the world they are going to be born into. So that myth of separation underscores everything that is ailing us today, from the most deeply personal, individual, to the national and international, to the planetary. So the awareness of oneness, connection, is the solution to that. When I know that I am one with all, then A, I don't feel alone, connected. Connected to God, connected to myself, connected to Mother Nature, connected to the trees growing in my backyard or the park down the street. I'm connected, I'm not alone. Whether there's another human being in my house, in my room, in my bed or not is irrelevant. I'm connected. Connected to the universe. Fills me, means I don't have to go out and eat or buy or shop my way to feel full, drink or use to feel full. I don't need to buy more and more and more from factories that are spewing waste into the air, into the soil, into the water to feel full. I'm already full. So connection. And courage. Because courage is that makes us know that yes, we can make a difference. We do make a difference. We are making a difference. And that runs both ways. The ripple impact of my existence can either be one that is helping or one that is harming. But it takes courage to realize I actually have an impact. I can have an impact. I am having an impact. I am powerful. Because a lot of us are groomed to feel powerless, to feel small, to feel insignificant and helpless. It takes courage to overcome that and to realize, hey, wait, these choices I'm making, not necessarily the best ones for myself or the planet, and there is an alternative. There's an alternative to anger. There's an alternative to grudges. There's an alternative to addictions. There's an alternative to misery and to crime and to violence. There's an alternative to shopping therapy. But it takes courage to step out of a box that we've all been stuck into. And to really say, hey, wait. Have I too drunk the metaphoric Kool-Aid to believe that literally this is my highest calling, to just get up every day and go somewhere and punch a time clock and come home and sit in front of a TV and drink away my sorrows? Never to actually feel deep love, deep meaning, deep purpose? Deep connection takes courage. And so when we speak about healing the world or fixing the world, well, remember that world begins with us. So first of all, I have to have the connection and courage within me. The courage to rise. to really rise into the truth of who I am. That isn't necessarily about glamour or prestige or money, but that is the calling of my heart. That is the calling to be able to be a tool in the hands of the divine, to be used by God here on earth. But I have to be connected to know how to be used. Because otherwise it becomes just the games of my ego, or the games of whatever cultural indoctrination I've been subjected to. So I've got to be connected to a deep divine voice within me that speaks my truth, that's free of my fear, of my ego, of my ignorance. And then I have to have the courage to open my heart and to live that connection. May not be what's going to make the neighbors say, "Wow, wow, you are such a great success. Wish I could be like you." May not be something that puts us on the cover of a magazine or gets us the most likes on social media or is exactly what our parents wanted to do or wanted us to do. But it's the truth of our hearts. And that takes both courage and connection, because the ego can very easily hijack that whole situation. Hijack your whole life. So that's why the connection is required, and then the courage is required. And when each of us lives really as vehicles and vessels for the divine flow on earth, then we live together in love, in oneness, in connection. There is no one to steal from, no one to harm, no one to cheat, no one to exploit. It's all us. And as Gandhiji said so beautifully, there's more than enough for everyone's need and never enough for anyone's greed. So when we live together as one, we live according to our collective need. When we live as separate, then we live according to the individual greed of a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage that is bringing about the suffering in the world for so many. So connect and have courage. Every one of us is the answer. This brings to a close this hour of inspiration and transformation. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad to be together with you all each week, and I look forward to being together again next Thursday, same time, on Om Times Radio.